Hello, everybody. I'm Dennis Prager. This is the Fireside Chat, the Fireside, the Chat. And Otto is already up, which is very, very worrying because it means that he'll probably leave before the chat is over. So, Otto, we pay Otto for about 35, 40 minutes. So if we start late and he was already there, he knows the contract, and he doesn't stay longer. It's an issue. Anyway, that's Otto. Needless to say, it's great to be with you. This is a chance to just speak spontaneously about what's on my mind and what's on your mind, because half of the chat is taking your questions. By the way, don't forget to send us questions. Just don't make them long, because it takes time to read the whole question on the chat. Oh, I knew it. I predicted it. At least you saw. Thank God we started when we did. You saw Otto. You know what it is? My wife gives him a snack. You often before the chat, right? Because he gets hungry at about this time. Well, what's a fireside chat without Otto? Anyway, he was there in the beginning, and so just imagine, like, Mr. Snuffleupagus. Wasn't he an invisible friend, or was it Mr.? No, that was Big Bird's invisible friend was Mr. Snuffleupagus. Where did that come from in my brain? The stuff people remember. Okay, where were we? Yes, so I told you about that, and a few other very preliminary comments. Today is the last day of fundraising month for PragerU. As you know, the Fireside Chat and everything else is free. The reason we could produce so much material is that people support us. And just like you to know that this last day, whatever you give will be tripled. That's a generous donor has made that possible. So you give $100, it's $300. That's a big deal. By the way, you give $5, it's $15. You give what you can afford. I would like, though, you know, in light of that, have I not mentioned my theory on you should always pay for what you get?
Yeah, you did a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, like I sent to the websites that ask for my hobbies, like photography. It's such a beautiful habit to get into. Of if you use something to just, you know, pay for it. Anyway, so I appreciate whatever you can. We appreciate it. It's not just I. It's a lot of us at PragerU. Thank you. Any other preliminary comments? We're good?
We're good.
So last week, I mentioned, I don't remember in what regard, a characteristic that I think is worthy of pursuit for people. Remember, the Fireside Chat is not just about what might be happening in the world. And even when it is, I always use it to make a much larger point so that all of our Fireside Chats stay relevant, hopefully forever. But this is truly not based on anything in the news. And whenever I could do that, I love to do that. Remember, I wrote a book on happiness. I care as much about the micro as the macro. About the personal. It's funny. Generally, we associate that with the feminine part of the human species, more interested in people, and men more interested in politics, ideas, and so on. I think, by the way, a lot of women are now really interested in politics and ideas. But men still are generally not that preoccupied with, you know, the personal. But I have always been preoccupied with the personal. It's people are the most interesting thing to me, even more than ideas. But I basically combine them. This will be an example. Anyway, so I don't know how it arose, but it did. A guy called me on the radio and had this comment to me. He said, you know, Dennis, I have the perfect word to describe you. So I thought, uh-oh. And it turned out it wasn't an uh-oh. He said, you're transparent. And I thought, the guy got me right. I am transparent. So I know from all the people who work with me that when they tell somebody that they work with me, their first question is, what is he really like? And I know that they always answer, it's exactly the same as what you hear on the radio or see in on a video. And I am. I'm. There is no difference. Okay. And anyway, one of the things that I debated when I began radio a long time ago was how open will I be about me? And I debated it because you are exposed when you do that. There's no question. You're vulnerable if you're transparent and if you or expose yourself. And I mean it obviously in the best sense of the word. So I said to myself that it was worth the risk, that I felt that the more people believed they knew me, the greater my credibility. And I turned out to write. It was a risk worth taking, and that is turned out to be accurate. When you here, you know what the most common thing I get when I meet strangers or when strangers meet me? You know, Dennis, I feel like I know you. Isn't that interesting? And I bet that most public figures don't get that from strangers that they meet. And I'm not bragging. I'm just stating a fact that they do. And my answer, it's like almost the whole thing is almost like pre-scripted. They go, Dennis, I feel like I know you. And then my answer is always, you do. That's the amazing thing. But the reason I raise this is not to talk about me. It is to talk about you. Everybody should try to be transparent. If what I say about me as a public figure is true, it's 10 times truer in personal life. If people will trust me who never meet me, but who hear me or see me through media because I'm transparent, how much more so will you be trusted and have people gravitate toward you if you're transparent in your personal life? Now, I have dealt with this, not for a while, but I have dealt with this on my radio show. My radio show has been a laboratory of humanity for me because I have millions of people over the course of so long and so many talk to me. By the way, I think I have talked with more people than anyone alive. I've been in radio 40 years. That means I've been talking with people. With is not the same as to. There are people who have talked to more people, obviously. And you know, you just give one lecture at the United Nations and you've talked to hundreds of millions of people. Sports stars talk to hundreds of millions of people. But with, I've talked with more people, I think, than anybody living. And that's been as what I call laboratory of humanity. So I raised this question, not for a while, but I remember the answers. So what holds you back from opening up? That's because transparent is really a synonym for opening up. Is that fair? Right? What holds you back? I asked my listeners, what holds you back from opening up to people? And almost always the answer is they are afraid of being hurt, which is its own fascinating issue. I don't like being hurt. Nobody likes being hurt. Why, forgetting me as a public figure, why in my personal life do I not fear being hurt? So that, let me deal with that for a moment. Everything good comes with a risk. Everything. There is no risk-free good thing. None. If you want to take no risks, if you want to play it safe, you won't live a full life. That's a given. That's like a law of gravity. The safer you play life, the more you want to absolutely guarantee to the best of your ability that you won't suffer any pain, the less you will live a full life. So I always figured, you know, and there's a famous Hebrew saying, I don't want the bee and I don't want the honey. But in real life, I'll take the honey and the bee. I'll take the honey and risk a bee sting. That's my approach to life. So, because what's life without honey? And obviously I'm using honey as a just a catch-all phrase for all good things and pleasurable things in life. So I'll risk the bee sting because I want life's honey. Absolutely. And so I decided, forgetting my radio or video life, I decided very early on, I will open up to the people in my life. If I'm hurt as a result, okay, so I got hurt, so what? By the way, so what are two of my favorite words too. I could do an entire opening monologue on so what. in life, it is definitely worth saying so what to a lot of things. So you'll fall. So you'll break a bone. But it's like people who ski, right? There's a good example, I guess. I don't know almost anyone who skis who hasn't been injured. Nobody talks about skiing. I bet that's the sport with the most injuries. You know, football is dangerous. Hockey is dangerous. But skiing, everyone I know who has skied at all, other than, you know, one or two times, but regularly has done some damage to some limb. But they have chosen the honey with the sting. That's a very good example. So I think that since you can't really have any relationship of depth, that's honey in life, by the way. Friendship and relationship, that's the real honey of life. And if you don't open up, you don't have a real relationship. Why don't you open up? I said people don't want to get hurt, right? But it means you don't fully trust that person. That's the ultimate statement. If you're afraid to open up, it means you don't trust them. What kind of relationship is that? If you know X, Y, or Z about me, how do I know you won't use it against me? And that's a friend? You have friends that you fear how they will use information about you? Then that's not friendship. That's palship. That's go to the movies with fun people with. But it's not a friendship. So you really have to make a decision, whatever age you are. We have very young people watching this. We have old people watching this, middle-aged people. And you have to decide, will you open up to people? So that's my argument for transparency and opening up. It's a very wonderful way to lead a life. Now, I will just add this. If you do open up and you get hurt by friend after friend after friend, clearly you're choosing the wrong people to be in your life. I mean, that should be, that's a big red flag as exists. If you keep getting hurt by friends, and I mean really hurt, everybody's hurt by even that. My view on that is people choose to be hurt. It's very hard for me to imagine. I'll end with this on the hurt, although that's worthy of its own subject. We choose when to be hurt. So one of my very closest friends, by far the one I have the longest since high school. So he said to me once, he's very observant of the human condition and of the micro. And he said, Dennis, I realized, and we really love each other. It's a very serious bond. And I have that with a number of men. And he said to me, you know, I think we were in our late 20s. And he said, you don't really like talking on the phone, do you? And I said, no. I love talking to friends, but not on the phone. I don't know why. I never liked it, and I still don't. But I love talking to my friends. I mean, you know, that's one of the highlights of my life, in fact. So he said, I don't get hurt when you don't call me or if it takes you a long time to call back. He understood whether to be hurt or not. Of course it wasn't done to be hurtful. God forbid. But anyway, that's a separate subject, but related about choosing whether or not to be hurt. But I tell you that you have to have people in your life you open up to. There are people who don't open up to their spouse. And that's really painful to think. Okay. Good one. Transparency. And now it's question time.
Hi, Mr. Prager. My name is Brady Williams from Denver, Colorado. I'm a freshman in high school. And my question was, recently on Fox News, I saw something being put in schools by leftists called Privilege Bingo, where the kids had to color in the spot that had areas where they were privileged, like white, heterosexual. And one of them was being a military kid. And my dad's in the Army. He's been in the Army for 26 years. And I've rarely been able to live anywhere for more than 2 years. Never been able to attend the same school for more than 1 year. And I barely knew my dad up until about first grade because of how much he was deployed. So I was just curious on what your thoughts are on why leftists believe that this is a privilege. I love what you do. Thank you, Mr. Prager.
That's a really great question, Brady. Thank you. I did not know that they had this sick thing about privilege bingo and you fill in which you are, whether you're white or heterosexual. Come on, man. All right. Yes. Okay. He's really carrying on today. This is Otto at his energetic best.
Yeah.
All right. He came for a rub and left. First of all, even the things that you... So white, this notion that if you're white, you're privileged. It's... So let me understand something. All these spectacularly successful blacks, Oprah Winfrey obviously coming to mind immediately. So the white kid who lives in Appalachia, just to make extremes, he's privileged and she's not. It's so unhealthy. And it so breeds, all it's meant to do is breed resentment. The left manufactures resentment. That really is their great export. You know, it's like Greece exports olives and feta cheese, and the left exports ingratitude and resentment. Heterosexual, right. How many heterosexuals commit suicide? How many heterosexuals have depression? What are we talking about? You know, gays earn more than straights. Did you know that? I mean, does that mean anything? Yes, it only means one thing, that the whole thing's a bluff. There was a time, there's no question, there was a time when gays were in the closet and it was considered spectacularly shameful if you were gay, or what they called it then, homosexual. That's not true today. So, and what was the, oh, this one, that's amazing. A military kid? He's so right. The guy, he hasn't lived anywhere more than 2 years. That's real privilege. And it's not been at a school for more than a year. Didn't see his father for the first 5 years, practically, because he was deployed. The whole thing is sick. It's all made up stuff. It's the emperor's clothes, the whole thing. The emperor's naked and everybody's saying how well-dressed he is. So your point is extremely well taken. You know who's privileged? People who don't feel sorry for themselves are privileged. People who don't complain are privileged. People who walk around with a happy disposition are privileged. People who ideally have two parents that they can relate to, and especially for so many reasons, a father in their life. You're privileged if you're American. That's the irony. And there's proof to that. 3 million blacks have moved to the United States in the last few decades. From Africa, 2 million, Caribbean, 1 million, because they knew they'd be privileged if they came to the United States, and they are. As I said, the left just produces anger and resentment. Anyways, a very important question. Okay, next, Montreal, Canada, 32 years old, Desjardins. Hello, Dennis Prager. My name is Patrick Desjardins from Montreal, Canada. I've been watching your fireside chats for years, and even though I don't agree with everything you say, no offense, I want to deal with that.
I knew you would.
You knew, you knew. I knew you knew I would. That's so precious. Why would I take offense if you don't always agree with me? I want you to think about that. It's so important that we live in an age of this no offense or don't take offense or will they take offense? Why would I take offense at people not agreeing with everything I say? I can't even think of a reason. It's so sad. I mean, it was well-intentioned, obviously, but it's completely unnecessary. Of course it's no offense. You wouldn't be watching and writing me a note or question if you didn't think highly enough of me to do so. So how can I take offense? On the contrary, I'm complimented that even though you don't always agree with me, you watch. See, that it's the opposite. You make strong, good points on big subjects like government, religion, and so on. And you're one of the few that I would enjoy listening to for hours on end. Pardon me, but my English writing is not perfect. It cracks me up when people write beautifully, foreigners, not native English speakers, I'm sure is a French native speaker, and they apologize, and they speak better than, or spell better than most of the Americans I know. No offense. You have made several statements in your fireside chats and on other videos on PragerU that religion can be a good source of morality. Do you believe that fairy tales can also provide good wisdom and teach our children about how to be a good person in this difficult world? Thank you. Merci beaucoup. And you have my full support. Thank you. So, first of all, that's why fairy tales were written, to teach little kids lessons about life. Fairy tales are like Pinocchio, the power of teaching not to lie. It's fantastic. Fairy tales serve a very important pedagogical, teaching service. What the Bible does too. The Bible, yes, the Bible teaches you about life. The difference is, however, that the Bible also posits, which Pinocchio doesn't, a God who is the source of right and wrong. That's indispensable. Watch my video. If God doesn't say murder is wrong, is murder wrong? Just watch that. It's only 5 minutes, like all the videos at PragerU. But yes, but the irony is kids are not read fairy tales or the Bible. So I don't know where kids are getting wisdom, and the truth is they're not. We live in the age of non-wisdom. All right, Thank you, Patrick, in Kansas. Next one's Kansas, in Montreal. Molly, 30 years old, Kansas City, Kansas. Hello, Dennis. I'm a regular listener and fan. Thank you. I've often heard you talk through the concepts of being a good person and for parents raising good children. You talk through the concept of American values and specifically E Pluribus Unum, which is one of the mottos of America, from many one. I'm a Christian and have strong beliefs about right, wrong, and absolute truth. However, I understand that while America was founded on Judeo-Christian principles, we have a diverse population practicing a plethora of different religions. Plethora. Can you elaborate on a few simple goods we must have to be able to agree on and should be teaching our children? Second, do you believe there are world religions or value systems which wouldn't be compatible with those goods, and why? Thank you for your time and wisdom. You're the coolest. I am. That's what I think. I wake up and go, you're the coolest. Anyway, thank you for that. God bless, she wrote. Thank you very much, Molly. So, okay, this is a very intelligent question. So, can you elaborate on a few simple goods we must have to be able to agree on and should be teaching our children? Yes. There are a lot of them, to be honest, and they begin, in at least in the United States, and I think for all the world. That's why my book is called Still the Best Hope, why I believe the American value system is good for everybody in the world. And it is rooted in God we trust, liberty, and E Pluribus Unum. That's what I call the American Trinity. We have now a little kid's book out, Otto Tales, on that, which I read, actually. And that trio, or that trinity, is what we should all agree on. And God we trust. It's not when we're not saying you have to be Christian, you have to be Jewish, you have to be Catholic, you have to be Protestant, you have to be Mormon, anything like that, or any of the Protestant denominations, but in God we trust, and specifically the God of the Bible, ultimately, the creator of the universe, who gave us principles like love your neighbor as yourself, and of course, my favorite, the Ten Commandments. So yeah, those are basic goods. We didn't teach the basic goods. People do. Oh, they say, you know, social justice and equity and so on. They have redefined, and it's not worked out, to say the least. Next, how's this? Second, do you believe there are world religions or value systems which wouldn't be compatible with those goods? And she says, other than left-wing systems, which obviously I think are the antithesis. I don't mean liberal, I mean left. They are the antithesis of these values. Of course, there are many that don't agree. My basic system is God gave the Ten Commandments, and if you believe that, I don't care what else you religiously affirm or deny, we are kindred spirits. If you could just say, God is the source of the Ten Commandments, and I am obligated to try to live by them, we are kindred spirits. So I don't care if you do that as a Protestant, as a Catholic, as a Mormon, as a Jehovah's Witness, as an Episcopalian, as a Methodist, as a Jew, or even if you would say it as a Muslim, even though the Ten Commandments is not as affirmed as such in Islam, but if you were a Muslim and said that, then we're kindred spirits. That's a very big deal. It's why I spend so much time on the Ten Commandments. And you have to believe that it is ultimately God who gave it. If you believe people wrote it, then they're not inalienable, as the Declaration of Independence puts it. God has to be behind it. Are we close to time?
Yep.
I thought so. Do you know how I knew? I read Megan as well as Megan reads me. She shuffled her body about 2 millimeters. And that was the signal. She doesn't even know she did it, but I did. It's very funny. Normally, I have an inner clock, yeah. But I read you this time. Okay, this is a lot of fun. By the way, that's another interesting aspect because I really do look at myself from outside myself. You know, I enjoy this, and that's a big part of the reason you do. It's a you ever have a teacher who you knew didn't want to be there? So here's a very simple rule. If the teacher doesn't want to be there, neither do you. That's the way it works. Oh, did I ever talk about my theory on interesting? That's the source of communication. Well, if I did, that proves you should all binge on fireside chats. This is truly a course in life. So I was going to say on behalf of Otto, who is not present, his contract, he's really strict on that. He does not go overtime. Anyway, great to be with you, everybody. Please help out PragerU on this final day of our fundraising month. And again, whatever you give is tripled. And thank you for watching. I'll see you next week. Thank you for watching this video. To help keep PragerU videos free, please consider making a tax-deductible donation.